A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. Today we want to spend our time looking at the book of Ezra, chapter 3, the verses that we just heard today. I've entitled today's theme as the new beginnings, new beginnings. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we ask God to speak to us and draw lessons from God's word. Father, we thank you for this day. Dear, you have blessed us with a God. We thank you that we can come together as your people who love you to, Lord, look at your word. We pray, Lord, that your spirit will continue to work in our hearts and minds, Father. We ask for your blessings upon each and every one of us and also our families. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, as all of you are aware that we live in a time and age that disaster can strike any time, at any place in the world. You know, some disasters make headlines and others do not. I was just going through the report that was released by the Center of Disaster, and I was just reading about the new and emerging disasters that's happening. According to the 2021 Atlanta Hurricane Report, it says that even now officials are monitoring five storms that can attack cities in the U.S., my friend. And many cities in the world are taking new measures to mitigate heat waves. And some of the things that doesn't make headlines are the flooding that's happening in Myanmar, where lives have been lost. And even right now in Nepal, a lot of people have lost their lives. Around 90,000 people have been affected by the storms. And one of the things that affects this part of the world is wildfires, which are very common these days. Even in this land, in the land of Canada, you know, I was just reading the report from the Canadian Interagency, and they reported that 10.23 acres of land are being burned as of August 29. You know, it's sad as we hear such reports. And we read daily about the effects of coronavirus in the lives of people. As of now, there are more than 200 million people affected by this virus, and it has claimed 4.6 million lives, my friend. You know, rebuilding is never easy. Rebuilding lives, rebuilding homes, rebuilding societies, or even nations, is not an easy thing that happens. You know, I was just reading another report that was released by the Habitat of Humanity, and they say rebuilding takes many, many years. It's often harder than starting from scratch. And today, we want to look at an interesting passage. It's a passage where the chosen people of God were just returning back from the exile. They were in exile for 70 years in the land of Babylon. And they were just coming back to rebuild their lives, rebuild their homes, and rebuild the promised land that God has given to them. It was in the month of Tishri, which is the month of September and October. It was around this particular month, you know, the Israelites were just coming back. It was springtime. They were just coming back. And can you imagine the kind of excitement they were having when they were returning back? When you look at the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you see a lot of things that's happening. The people wanted to be a faithful people of God. You know, as I reflect on the passage that was just read to us, you know, we live in a time and age where many churches or even denominations are asking questions about the post-COVID church. How would it look like? How would worship look like in a post-COVID church? How would discipleship look like in the post-COVID church? What are the important things that the church had to be found doing? What are the priorities of the church? And today's passage is a very interesting passage because it teaches us about the small steps that we are asked to make. And these small steps can be small beginnings, my friend, but they are important beginning in the life and the growth of our lives and also in the growth of our churches. The passage that we just read, you know, we realize the people have settled in their homes. and they came back, they could have easily said, you know, we are happy, we are finally happy, we are so excited. This was the day that we were just waiting for. They could have been self-centered. But in chapter 3, you realize they wanted to be God's chosen people. They wanted to live a life that will please God. And so what did they do? Some of the lessons that we learn from them. Let me read chapter 3, verse 1. It says, when the seventh month came, it was an important month in the life of the Israelites. And now they have settled in their homes. The people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. The people assembled together as one in one person or one people, or in certain version as one man in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Right? They were just coming as one man or one person. It's not just a group of people. According to the historical documents, you realize there were around 50,000 people. 50,000 people, diverse men, women, with different kinds of skills, different kinds of mindset, but they came together as one person. They came united, my friend. You know, when I read this, I just marvel, because they were not living in an age of technology like today, the social media world, but 42,000 people gathered together. They saw the importance of coming together as one people, one in the sight of God. I think that is one of the greatest things that we can learn from the exiles who came back. The importance of unity. You know, unity is better than having a wonderful church building with a lot of divisions, my friend. And if there is no unity, you know, there is no fruitfulness. And it is of no value at all. And a great example of unity is the early church. If you realize the early church, there were a lot of gifts. God gave a lot of different kinds of gift to people. But there is one word that is very recurring. It recurs quite a number of times. It is a word called one accord. They came in one accord. According to the Greek word, it means rushing along together in the same direction. And that was the early church. There was oneness. There was unity. They were just rushing together. Not in a different direction, but in the same direction. And you see the effectiveness of their ministry. You see the fruitfulness of the ministry that God has blessed them with. Because they were in the same direction. If you read Acts chapter 5, verse 28, even the high priest was impressed. He told the apostles, you know, what did he say? You have filled the city with your doctrine. And everyone is talking about it. You know why? But because the church was united. They came together in one accord. And that was the mind of the early Israelites, my friend, when they came together. They gathered as one people. There was oneness in them. Paul writes to the believers in Romans, where he talks about that we need to be like-minded. Peter also writes in his first epistle, he writes, be with one mind. It is simple, but it is very profound for the effectiveness of the church ministry, my friend. It does not only apply to the church, but I think it applies in our homes, the unity, coming together as one. And even many business organizations has adopted this, the importance of coming together. I believe many of us are familiar with this phrase, united we stand and divided we fall. And so this is important. One of the great lessons that we learn as a church, that we need to be united. Yes, we are coming back. We need to be united. There was a lot of love towards God's temple, and they came with one mind. Now, secondly, when I look at the particular passage, I also ask, you know, what brought these people together as one people? What brought them? What was the desire? What was the thing that was just motivating their lives? I realized they had one heart. They are hard to worship God. They want to be a people that who will glorify God. They want to be people who will exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read in the following verses in chapter 3, you realize they called, they wanted to build the altar of the God of Israel. You know, Nehemiah writes it beautifully in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. You know, they asked Ezra to bring the book of Moses, which the Lord has commanded. They wanted to listen to God's word, and they wanted to build the altar where offerings can be given, where burnt offerings can be made. They can keep the feast of the tabernacles, and they can continue worshiping God. There were three important festivals. They wanted to give their time. They wanted to give their lives with thankfulness, with gratitude to God. Because these feasts, you know, speaks about new beginnings, a fresh start. When you look at the life of Noah, that was the first thing that he did. When he came out of the ark, what did he do? He came out of the ark and he worshipped God, my friend. The people came together and they started offering sacrifices to God. Even before, you know, the temple was rebuilt, they could have said, "No, let's wait for the temple." But they built the altar so that they can give their lives to God and say, "Lord, this is me. I come with a heart full of gratitude to you. I come because of who you are." Dear friends, there was a desire to love the Lord. And not only that, when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, it was not easy. Coming together was not easy. Worshipping together was not easy. Because in verse 3, it says, despite their fears of the people around them. You know, there were strange, there were other people of other nationalities who were around. They were just looking at them. You tend to see the kind of anger they had in the book of Nehemiah. But even in spite of all the enemies, they came together as one, with one heart to worship God. You know, why did they worship God? And why? Look at their worship of God. They wanted to worship God. If you look at verse 4, it says, they wanted to worship God and it was written in the book of the Lord. You know why? Because they don't want to do this, the mistakes of the past generation or their forefathers. They wanted their worship to be acceptable in the sight of God. So they wanted their worship to be in accordance to God's word. They wanted to live a life according to God's word. So the word of God became very important in their life and also in their worship. They gave importance to God's words. Worship has always been a priority, my friend, for God's chosen people. Throughout scripture, you realize worship was an integral part of the early church, right? Biblical worship does not revolve around the needs of the worshiper, but rather it's about the Creator. And God loves us, and God wants us to worship Him. You know, when you look at the scriptures very carefully, worship is about God, my friend. It's about this wonderful God, this God who created us. And even in the book of Revelation, it says that worship will continue into eternity. And we enter God, encounter God in our worship. Simple, but important. I think that's what God wants us, right? We need to come back and to just worship Him, to acknowledge Him, to acknowledge His faithfulness, to recognize that this God is worthy to be worshipped, my friend. They could have got themselves into other activities, but they said, "No, we want to seek the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to us." That's worship. Dear friends, I think that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to worship Him, because when we worship Him, we encounter Him. When we worship Him, we realize that we need Him. We need Him at every moment of our lives. Lastly, when I look at the particular passage, I also realize not only they had an open heart, but they had open hands, my friend. They could have said, "You know, we are just happy with the altars because it serves our needs." But they wanted the temple. They wanted the temple of God to be built. And so in verse 6, if you realize, you know, they gave. From verse 7 onwards, you read, they gave money to the masons, to the carpenters. They gave food, they gave drink, olive oil to the people. You know, they want timber to be brought. Why? They wanted to lay the foundation of the temple, my friend. And you read the passage very carefully. Realize they gave. They gave. Because they were so excited. They wanted to see the temple of God being built. Can you imagine? They were not ordinary people. They were just ordinary people, just coming back from exile. They could have said, you know, I need to build my home. I need to build, you know, the things. And this is what I have. And this is important. But they saw the importance of building the temple of God. If you read in chapter 6, and according to the degree of the king, they could have used, right? They can use the expenses under the king's name. But they did not. They wanted to use their own money, their own wealth. They could have tapped the resources that was available by the king at that moment, my friend. But they said, no. Not only we will give our lives, but we will give what we have, because they saw the importance of worshiping God, the importance of rebuilding the temple of God. Another great example that we read in Scripture is King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, you read that God approached David in verse 18 and said, you know, go up and build an altar for me. And so what happens in 24, David goes to the Jebusite. And this Jebusite was just willing to give him. He says, come, take. But David says, no, I will buy from you at a full price. And he says in verse 24, I won't offer to the Lord my God burnt offering that cost me nothing. I want to offer and I want to give sacrificially to the Lord. You know, that's King David. And he realized God blessed him. God heard his cry. The Apostle Paul, when he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he talks about the faithful Macedonians. Even in the midst of trials and affliction, they gave. And God blessed the ministries of the church in Thessalonica. So how are we supporting our church today? How are we supporting the ministries of the church today, my friend? I think we see the importance of not only giving our time, but also giving our lives to God. And even the resources that God has blessed us, and say, Lord, we want to build lives of God. We want to build the community. And we want to build every ministry that has been given to us. You know, when I look at this particular passage, they laid the foundation because they had hope that someday the second temple will be rebuilt, my friend. I believe even now, God has given us the opportunity. The Lord Jesus Christ has done his work. He finished his work at the cross of Calvary at his first coming. And he wants us to continue to build lives, to build the body of Christ until we see him face to face. And so the mission goes on. We have mission, my friend. We are asked to continue the work, to build lives, that many lives will be the temple of the Holy Spirit where God will dwell. I want to finish with an illustration that I read about an old Persian legend. An old Persian legend, it pictured four angels watching God's creation over the world. So, and it says, why did God create? And one of the angels said, you know, how did God make it? And the third said, can I have it? And the fourth said, can I help to make it? Four kinds of angels, my friend. First one said, how did God make it? Second said, why did God make it? The third said, can I have it? But the fourth said, can I help to make it better? You know, when I look at this illustration, it reminds, right? The first one is a more of a philosophical attitude. Why did God make it? The second has a scientific attitude. How did God make it? The third had a selfish attitude. Can I have it? But the last had a Christian attitude. Can I help to make it better? Yes, my friend, our role is important. And God wants us to be involved in His kingdom building. It happens when we come together as one people, united, in one accord, like the early church, and with one heart to worship Him. No matter what, worship should be the important priority of our lives, my friend, should be the important priority of the church. And lastly, giving ourselves, giving the resources that God has blessed us, that we will see lives transform into the image of God. I want to pray that there will be new beginnings, not only in our lives, but in the ministries that God has given to us. In our families, there will be new beginnings, my friend. And God wants to bless us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word that You have given to us, O God. We pray that You'll continue to stir our hearts and minds, O Father. Help us to do the things that You want us to do, God. Help us to seek Your kingdom first, and all other things will be added to us. Help us, O Lord, to seek You as one people, with one heart. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be with open hands, O God, to support Your work, to be involved in the lives of people. We thank You and we love You. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.